Well, I am very glad to be here with you again and to be able to share with you the word of the Lord tonight. Well, before anything else, let's put ourselves in the hands of the Lord. So join me for a minute in prayer, please. Lord, we want to thank you because you have united us under this roof. Even though it is very few of us tonight, your word says that where there are two united in your name, you manifest yourself and you camp between them. We want to ask you tonight to be present here, that your spirit is here in between us, directing the words, and opening the ears, opening the minds and the hearts so that we can receive the truths that are in your word. We ask that you take any thought, any worry, any preoccupation, any distraction, and that you help us put it to the side, so that the only thing that we have time for and minds for and dispositions for is to listen to your word. We put all of this in your hands in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Very well. So I hope that everyone has their programs out because there's a pretty long passage that we're going to start with, that we're going to start a sermon with tonight. In fact, I want to ask you to come with me to the Gospel of Mark, specifically chapter 10, and we're going to read together verses 46 to 52. This is what it says. And they came to Jericho. And as he was leaving Jericho, he and his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, call him. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up, he is calling you. And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. Look, at a first glance, the retelling of the story seems to be just one more of many of the encounters of Jesus with people who were needy, people who were sick. We have these encounters in any of all four Gospels. They're filled with stories and retellings like this. In the same manner, the verses right before this text, in the same chapter 10 of Mark, they show us that Jesus was announcing to his disciples that his imminent imprisonment, his torture, and his death. And so it seems weird that this brief story about one more blind man was inserted in the middle, in between of this announcement of Jesus' death and his later triumphant entrance to the city of Jerusalem, which would then, bring forth his prediction about his death. So why did Mark even bother to tell this story? Why didn't he just go straight to the triumphant entrance to Jerusalem in chapter 11? I mean, this is just one more of the many miracles that were registered in the gospel, right? So why didn't he just go on to a more important, maybe, passage like the entrance to Jerusalem? But this story, the story of Bartimaeus, is actually precisely where it is supposed to be. This story reinforces what Jesus Christ had just taught his disciples in the previous passage to the one that we just read. And so let's read together verses 35 to 37 of this same chapter 10. It says, and James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to him and said to him, teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And he said to them, what do you want me to do for you? And they said to him, grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory. And in response to this curious petition, Jesus says in verse 40, "But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." And so in the story that we're going to read tonight, Jesus Christ approaches Bartimaeus and asks him this question, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? And so these are two questions that are very similar. The one from the disciples and the one that Jesus asks Bartimaeus. But they have two very different answers. One of them is refused and the other one is answered. So the brothers James and John had asked Jesus to sit in the most privileged spots of his cabinet when he finally took possession of his kingdom. Those seats would obviously bring influence, power, recognition above the rest of his disciples. But that is completely against the spirit of the gospel. And we as followers of Christ know that he didn't come to be served, but to serve. And the response of Jesus to this petition in verse 40, it is, "But to sit at my right or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." And so the real discipleship doesn't consist in trying to be this influential person, in trying to be this prestigious person. But being a disciple of Jesus means to have the capacity to stop in on the way and serve people like a blind man, like Bartimaeus, people like him used to go unnoticed, people that cannot return the favor. James and John and the rest of the disciples, they were trying to obtain these high places. While the person who was at the highest place, our Lord Jesus Christ, was trying to serve those at the lowest. And so this passage of tonight is not an anti-climax, but it's actually the foreword to this triumphant entrance of Jesus to Jerusalem. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. And for this reason, he was acclaimed that Sunday when he makes this entrance to the city of Jerusalem. But that same week, a few days after, he would be judged and condemned to death because he is a king who makes himself a servant. And he does that in order to give his life as a rescue for the many. And the miracle of healing that Mark tells us in this short story, it doesn't show us the miserable condition of the human race that made necessary the coming of a savior, but it shows us in an incredibly impactful way the good disposition of our Lord to come and save us from those miseries. And so, in order to see how that is present in the story of tonight, we're going to divide the text as if it were a theatrical play. We're going to divide it in four acts or four scenes. So the first scene, we could title it A Great Necessity and a Trusting Petition. A Great Necessity and a Trusting Petition. So once again, we're going to go to our text, to verse 46, and the story starts like this. "And they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside." We're going to stop there. Here we have the Lord Jesus who is heading for Jerusalem. But first he has to go through a city that's smaller. It's called Jericho. That's approximately 33 kilometers to the northeast of Jerusalem. And because the festivities of Easter were very close to being celebrated, and the popularity of Jesus was at its climax, and Mark tells us that he and his disciples were followed by this great crowd. We can imagine a lot of people all walking as in a procession, just walking through the streets of Jericho. And remember that it is in that same trip when Jesus ran into another character in the city of Jericho. Do you remember who that was? There is another short story in the gospel, but this character comes out of the blue and has this encounter with Jesus. I am talking about Zacchaeus. And so it was precisely in this point of the story where that encounter happens. In Luke 19:3, we see this man who was very short in height, Zacchaeus, who gets up on this like branch of a tree in order to be able to see Jesus because he was walking through this like great crowd. And so Jesus is walking to Jerusalem and he's surrounded by hundreds and hundreds of people. But at the outskirts of Jericho, he runs into this blind beggar, Bartimaeus. And this story, the story of Bartimaeus, is narrated by Matthew, by Mark, and by Luke, by these three the Gospels. But Mark is the only one who includes the detail of what the name of this blind man was, Bartimaeus, and the fact that he was the son of Timaeus. That's actually what Bartimaeus means. Bar means son in Hebrew. So the son of Timaeus. So this is a curious fact that when it comes to a man who at this up until this point was a complete stranger. So why does Mark include his name in the story? Well, some theologists suggest that there's a possibility that Bartimaeus ended up being an important or recognized member of the church in the first few years. And that's why Mark referred to him by name. We don't know if that's true. We cannot affirm either way, but it's an interesting theory. What we can say with certainty about Bartimaeus is that he was blind and that he was a beggar. I think that all of us, this is not up for debate. Being blind is a terrible condition and a great inconvenience for anyone at any point in time. But in the times of Christ, this was an enormous tragedy because a lot of people saw blindness as this as a sort of damnation from God. It was a symbol of having been damned by God, of a punishment from God. I don't know if you remember when Jesus ran into another blind man, someone who had been blind from birth, and that's in John 9. And basically the disciples asked Jesus, Rabbi, who sinned? Did he sin or his parents for him to be born blind? I don't know if you can understand the logic of the disciples there, but that means that if being blind was a consequence of sin and this man had been born blind, then who was to blame for his condition? Of course, this form of thought was the result of an inadequate theology, which is what Jesus actually tells other disciples in the verses that follow in that passage. But that was the way of thinking that a lot of people had at that point. So Bartimaeus not only had to live up until that point a limited and a complicated life, but also a very lonely life. This man had been damned by God. Who would want to be with him? And so Bartimaeus was condemned to being a beggar for the rest of his life, rejected by a society where a lot of people saw him as this man who had been abandoned by God under the ire and the damnation of God, up until that point where Jesus walked through Jericho. And so the crowd is leaving the city, right? And Bartimaeus can hear the roaring of the crowd. And it says in the parallel passage in Luke chapter 18 that Bartimaeus was asking, what is all of this? What is all this noise? And someone told him, Jesus is walking through. Jesus from Nazareth. And, well, we don't know how Bartimaeus received information about Jesus walking by. But brothers, it is evident that this blind man, he saw what many people had not been able to see up until that point. And so let's go to verse 47. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, and we can't lose sight of the fact that That used to be a derogatory term at that point. Remember when Andrew told Bartholomew, I've met Jesus of Nazareth. Can't that be the Messiah? And Bartholomew had replied, ha! And can anything good come from Nazareth? Really? So Nazareth was a place of a bad reputation. And these people told Bartimaeus, the famous Jesus of Nazareth is walking through. But the passage goes on saying that when he heard this, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Look, this is the first time in the Gospel of Mark that anyone refers to Jesus as the son of David. So this is chapter 10. And it is a clear reference to the promise that God made to King David. In the second book of Samuel, God makes a promise to David that one of his descendants would sit on the throne, but forever. And all of the Jews in the time of Jesus knew that this son of David was none other than the Messiah, than the promised Savior. And so it is interesting to note that in the original Greek text of this Gospel of Mark, the title goes before the name of Jesus. So what it actually literally says in the Greek is that Bartimaeus started to cry out, Son of David, Jesus, have mercy on me. So the emphasis is in the title of Son of David, not in the name. And so Bartimaeus thought that Jesus was the Messiah. Bartimaeus thought that he was sent by God to establish his kingdom on earth. And that is why he started to cry out over and over again. This is the idea of the text. And interestingly, he was crying out, have mercy on me. And when the crowd tried to get him to stop, to get him to be silent, Mark says that he started to cry out all the more. In verse 48, and many rebuked him, telling him to be silent, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So he was crying out, and people were telling him, shut up. But this man started to cry out more and more and louder, it's Son of David, have mercy on me. And so Bartimaeus was not willing to let that opportunity go by. Like, there was no way he was going to do that. There is another important detail in what Bartimaeus was asking. He wasn't asking to be healed. He wasn't demanding this healing as someone who was suffering from a condition he didn't deserve. There are many people who, when they're in the middle of affliction, of suffering, they wonder, what did I do to deserve this? What have I done? Why me? And if you have ever asked yourself that question, or if you are thinking that right now, let me tell you that you and I, we have done enough to be in hell right now. You and I, we are guilty of the greatest of crimes, to sin against the creator of the universe, who is saint and morally perfect, impolluted. And so because he is perfectly just, that is what we deserve, not any more, not any less. So resist the temptation of thinking like this. Bartimaeus did not go in front of Jesus in order to demand healing. He did not demand healing. He was appealing to the grace and the mercy of Christ in order to receive from his hand a grace that was undeserved, that only Jesus Christ could give him. So he says, Lord, you are the Son of David. You are the promised Messiah. You are this king filled with grace and kindness that the prophets promised for centuries. You are the great liberator of Israel. Please, I am begging you, have mercy on me. I don't know if Bartimaeus had heard ever before the promise that the prophet Isaiah had made in his book in Isaiah 35:5. But that said that when the Messiah got there, it said, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. But be whatever reason it may be, Bartimaeus was convinced that Jesus could take mercy on him and that he had enough power to return to him his sight. And that leads us to the second scene of this play. I've titled it "A Savior That Listens to the Desperate Cries That No One Else Hears." A Savior That Listens to the Desperate Cries That No One Else Hears. It's verse 49 of our passage says, "And Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him.' And they called the blind man, saying to him, 'Take heart, get up, he is calling you.'" This verse is, for me, incredibly, it's incredible consolation. While the crowd is only looking at Bartimaeus as this burden, as this roadblock, Jesus is looking at him with eyes of compassion. They were looking at someone who is a bother, and Jesus was looking at an opportunity to glorify God by showing his mercy. And in the middle of this roar of the crowd, in some way, Jesus heard the voice of Bartimaeus. And we're talking about hundreds of people, maybe even thousands of people. And they were all walking and talking at the same time. And everyone was talking really loudly, talking over each other. That was typical. That was typical of the cultures of the Middle East. It's the same thing today when these people congregate. It is a madhouse. There is so much noise, right? And so there is this great racket. And in the middle of that, the Lord was able to hear the voice of Bartimaeus. And he decided to stop his walk towards Jerusalem in order to help him. In that moment, there was no one more important to Jesus than the blind man, Bartimaeus. It was as if in that moment, all of the disciples and all of the crowd had disappeared from his sight, and only Bartimaeus was left in the path towards Jericho. Brothers and sisters in Christ, when any of the sons of the children of God come before him in prayer, he's not way too busy leading with something, with other things in the government of the universe and human history that he can't pay attention to. He is never, 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 never too busy that he cannot listen to you, that he can't pay attention to you. Actually, what Psalm 34 verses 17 to 18 say is, "When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." Did you hear that? Did you really listen? You know what the type of person it is that God decides to pay attention to and show his favor to? Those who are brokenhearted. Bartimaeus was not a prominent person in this Jericho society, but he was a person in need. And the little that he knew about Jesus was enough for him to put all of his trust in him. And now I ask you, do you know what that means? Do you know what that means? That means that we don't need some complicated protocol or ritual in order to come to the Lord in prayer. We don't need a complicated protocol. Bartimaeus did not prepare a speech that was very impressive for Jesus. Listen, this brings to my memory something personal that happened many years ago to me. That there was a period of my life where I experienced a lot of suffering. It was probably the hardest and most painful period of my life. I had a little over 30 years old, and I had a very serious health condition that was relatively unknown. And also I had a lot of personal problems, and it was like a perfect storm. A period of time, I would pray a lot, but without thinking much, and I didn't know what to ask for. Sometimes I would just seek out the Lord in prayer just to vent without even asking for anything. But my trust was and is in the fact that God can interpret the moves and the wails of my tortured soul. Look, there are points in your life when we don't have the right words to go up to the Lord. And I just want to clear up that he's not expecting an impressive speech or a very dogmatic prayer. Not at all. Bartimaeus only cried out with a profound feeling of need, and the Lord heard him. That it was as simple as that. That was enough. Son of David, take mercy on me. Have mercy on me. That cry was enough for Jesus to decide to stop to help him. And don't forget that the Lord was walking towards Jerusalem in order to complete the mission that his father had given him. If Jesus had decided to keep on walking, that would have been absolutely justified. But he decided to stop, and to stop hundreds and hundreds of people in order to pay attention to one, to only one, who was a blind man and a beggar. But our Lord Jesus Christ is a compassionate Savior. And he hears these desperate cries that no one else hears. And one of the things that is added to the afflictions that a lot of us suffer in this world regularly is that in many of them, we end up feeling lonely. We end up feeling like no one understands us, and like we're a burden to other people, and that no one wants to listen to us. And how many times is it ourselves who are so overwhelmed that we don't have the time to look or to listen to the needs of other people? But if it is me who needs to be consoled, it's me. I don't have anything to offer. I don't have anything to give. We feel alone. We feel misunderstood. We feel isolated. We feel like no one's listening. But you know what? A million important things can be happening all over the entire world and universe. But when one child of God cries out for help, that cry, it goes through the heavens, and it reaches directly the throne of our Father. Look at what Hebrews 4:16 says. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Bartimaeus didn't stop crying out, even if they were trying to silence him, until Jesus asked for him to be brought in front of him. And the kind attitude of the Lord impacted a lot of the people who were present, because suddenly they were encouraging Bartimaeus, telling him, take heart, get up, he is calling you. And that takes me to our third scene of this story. I've titled it An Immediate Response. An immediate response to a call that no one should ignore. So verse 40 says, and throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And so he threw off his cloak, probably as a way to prevent tripping over it and being able to just go straight for the Lord. I'm not trying to read more into this than what is written, but I want us to think about what this cloak meant for Bartimaeus. Think about this. Bartimaeus didn't have many things in the world. This cloak was probably what he used to sleep at night, to keep safe, to keep warm. It was probably over this same cloak that people would throw him in the money when he was begging, when they would walk by him during the day. But when he heard that Jesus was calling him, everything else stopped being relevant, even his cloak. When someone is aware of the profound need that they have, and they know that there is someone that has the ability and the disposition to solve their problem, that person doesn't start to put conditions or excuses. They don't ask, wait, okay, just explain to me what I'd have to do to follow you so that I can take this decision. No. Bartimaeus didn't have anything to consider. The call of Jesus was the most extraordinary thing that had happened in his entire life. And so listen to me well, if you're a friend who's visiting us for the first time. Jesus is calling you to the faith and to repentance. And that is the most extraordinary thing that has ever happened to you in life. There is nothing else. Bartimaeus, look, they've stolen your cloak. What do I care, right? What do I care? Anything else that might have been in that cloak, it didn't matter anymore. There was no, that was irrelevant to Bartimaeus. Because the call of Jesus just completely obscured anything else that mattered. There is not a single thing in this world that is worth you losing Jesus. Not one. None. Nothing. And listen to what I'm telling you right now. I don't know what is the cloak that you are treasuring that is keeping you from jumping up and following Christ. But whatever that is, believe me that it's not worth it. Even if it's English cashmere, believe me, it is not worth it. When you have to show yourself in front of the court of the Lord in order to explain and answer for your sins, all of the cloaks that you might have been able to accumulate throughout your life and that were a roadblock for you to come to Christ in repentance and faith, they are not going to be there to console you when you listen to the verdict of condemnation. So Bartimaeus left his cloak, he threw it off, and he sprang up in order to respond to the call of Jesus. He didn't ask for half an hour to take a good shower, and believe me, he probably was dirty and didn't smell good. But he presented himself in front of the Lord just as he was, just dirty and smelling and dressed in rags, because he was convinced that Jesus would receive him like just as he was. And that takes us to the last part of the story, the last act that I have titled A Faith That Asks for the Impossible to a Savior Who Can Do the Impossible. So verse 51 of our text, and Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? Someone might think that this question was not necessary. That, you know, wasn't it evident what Bartimaeus needed? Why did Jesus ask this? Well, I think there were two reasons for Jesus to ask this. I think on the one hand, in order to present a contrast between the petition of Bartimaeus and the later petition of James and John. The previous petition from the previous verses. I think that's what connects these two stories. So James and John come to Jesus with these dreams of greatness, asking for a position that they didn't deserve. But Bartimaeus approached with humility, so just begging for a favor that was completely undeserved. He was only asking that Jesus have mercy on him. But this question of Jesus, from Jesus, it also, it demanded from Bartimaeus a declaration of faith. Jesus wants Bartimaeus to reveal through his petition, through his ask, to which point is he willing to trust Jesus? What is the reach of his faith? And Bartimaeus asks in a very simple way, Rabbi, or teacher, or Lord, like it's a very respectful term. And he says, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. So not too big of an ask, right? So this man was blind. Like this man had not seen anything. He had not seen physically any miracle of Jesus. He had not seen any deaf person recover their hearing. He had not seen Jesus calm the sea and the storm. He had not seen anything physically. But such was his faith in the truth of what he had heard about Jesus that he dared to ask for his sight back simply from what he had heard about the Lord. Bartimaeus really believed that Jesus had the power to do the impossible. And he believed it with the faith of a child. And what, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. I want to see. I want you to do a miracle in order to take me out of the darkness that I live in. That is what I want from you. And do you know what Jesus did? Do you know what he did? Do you know what Jesus did through his kindness and mercy and power and omnipotent power? He gave him way more than he asked. Jesus gave him way more than he asked for. Look at verse 52. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. That word, go your way, it might sound a little rude, but what Jesus was actually saying to Bartimaeus was that never again would he have to depend on anyone else. Go your way. You are free. You will no longer have to keep on being on the ground waiting for a miracle. Go your way. Your faith has made you well. Okay, so let's notice that Bartimaeus at the same time was healed and he was saved. Jesus had cleared his the darkness that was physically within him, but also spiritually within him. So immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. This same passage in Luke says that immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. So those two things that are the characteristics of a real disciple, of a real follower of Jesus, to follow Jesus and to live for the glory of God. That's the seal, that's the evidence. And so in a second, Bartimaeus was both healed and saved. Bartimaeus became a follower of Jesus, dedicated to glorifying God over anything else. In other words, Bartimaeus did not spend the rest of his time trying to call attention to himself from that moment on, from that extraordinary moment on. He didn't try to make of his story a platform in order to glorify himself and his own ego. Like, he wasn't like, hey, you know that I was there by the road and that I started to scream until he listened to me. And then when people told me to shut up, I kept on crying out because I am a persistent and a determined person. That would have been an incredible testimony, right? But you know what? Bartimaeus was aware that he was not the protagonist of this story. A lot of the time when we preach or we talk about this passage, we talk about Bartimaeus as if he was the center of attention, right? We have to have the faith and the persistence of Bartimaeus. And listen, I think that Bartimaeus is an example of a faith of that's persistent. That's evident. I also think that he is an example of a prayer that is there before the throne of grace until he listens to the answer from God. But friends, the protagonist of the story is not Bartimaeus. It's not his faith and it's not his persistence. What is actually the protagonist of this passage is the mercy and the grace and the goodness of God, not Bartimaeus. Jesus was willing to take on this momentarily distraction in order to do a miracle in the life of this man. And that miracle was not just to open his eyes physically, it was actually to transform his heart. his heart that was filled with sin into a heart that was filled with gratefulness, transformed into a heart that was filled with devotion towards God. That is the great miracle that God did, that Jesus did in the life of Bartimaeus. And now, in light of what we have seen so far, I ask you this. If Jesus asked you today, what do you want me to do for you? What would be your response? No, seriously, like honestly, just take a few minutes while sitting there. Just take a few minutes to think about it. What do you want him to do for you? Think about it. What would be the most urgent request that you have for Christ in this moment? I'm going to try to help you answer this question. If you are a believer, I'll make you a suggestion. I'll give you a suggestion. It would be perfectly legitimate for you to come before God now and ask him to take mercy on you, healing you from a disease. That's legitimate. If you do it, you're not sinning, you're not being selfish. That would be perfectly legitimate. Also, for you to come before the Lord and ask him to take mercy on you, saving your family, saving your friends. Lord, look upon my children, have mercy on them, open their eyes to the truth, open their hearts to you. That would also be legitimate, of course. Or, Lord, save my wife. Lord, help fix my marriage that's about to fall apart. It's not a problem for you to ask for the Lord for this. But I want to show you something, a path that's more excellent. How about, what if you asked for the Lord with urgency, with need, that he helped you be more like him? Ask the Lord in prayer what you need. What I need the most, Lord, is to be like you. I need to be like you. Because you did not come to be served, but to serve, to give your life in the rescue of the many. Jesus was willing to stop on his way in order to help this man. How willing are we to stop on our way, to stop from our agenda and our own comfort zone or safety zone in order to run and take care of the weak? Lord, what I ask in this moment is for you to help me to be less demanding and more loving. Less demanding, more loving. You don't need to ask to be this great evangelist who preaches to millions of people. That's not necessary. As long as you stop and help one, that is enough. Christ detained this entire caravan to help one person in need. Preach the gospel to one person who does not have Christ. One person that you can console in their affliction and their suffering. One person is enough. Brothers in Christ, what if you asked Christ today to help you have this heart of a server that he has? Help me, Lord, be like you. Free me from being like the disciples, from having this like need for greatness, from wanting to be served. Free me from wanting to be the center of attention. Free me from running after greatness and just help me be great in the kingdom of the heavens by making myself a servant and a slave of everyone in this one, in this kingdom. Have mercy on me, Lord. But if you are here today without Christ, without a personal relationship with Christ, I also have a suggestion for you. I don't know what problem you've come to the church today with. I don't know. I cannot know that. But what if you asked of the Lord now that he have mercy of you by revealing to you your need of him? What if you asked the Lord today to help you discern right there where you're sitting the fact that you have exactly the same problem that Bartimaeus had? You are blind. To the truth, to the spiritual truth, you are blind if you are here today without Christ. You are blind to the glory of God, and you are blind to the beauty of the Savior. you are blinded. You are a spiritual beggar. You're miserable. Isaiah says in his book, in chapter 64, verse 6, we have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. So all our righteous deeds, everything that we think we could like bring forth in front of God and that it would give us merit in front of him, it's all like a polluted garment in front of him. It's worth nothing. So you are blind and you are a beggar if you are without Christ. So what if you asked the Lord to open your eyes? What if you asked him to change your heart? What if you asked the Lord to help you see him? See him as this precious pearl that is worth losing your cloak and losing everything. Friend, one day all of us will be before the court of God and we will have to respond to answer for our lives. And all of us, listen to me well, all of your sins, all of your sins, the small ones, the little ones, the big ones, the public ones, the secret ones, they will all be like an open book before him. And that day, no one will have anywhere to run before the justice of God unless that they have been saved through faith, through this redemptive work of God at the cross. So ask God to transform your incredulity into a heart that is faithful, that believes, that is trusting. Ask him to open the eyes of your understanding and to liberate you from the slavery of your ego, and ask the Lord to have mercy of you. What do you want him to do for you? Let us pray. Lord, we want to thank you because your word is an elixir. It is an elixir that takes away our thirst forever, because it opens our eyes to the truth. It opens our eyes to the fact that you have given us one unique path, one unique door through which we can find reconciliation and go from being your enemies to being your adoptive children. Give us, Lord, a spiritual awareness so we can be aware of who we are before you, of what we are before you. And help us, Lord, to have the spiritual clarity of Bartimaeus, so that we can come before you with a sincere heart, with an open heart, and with a heart that is absolutely trusting in your power, in your grace, and in your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for your word today. We thank you for this extraordinary story of Bartimaeus that resonates in the lives of each and every one of us. Because even though not all of us are blind physically, we are all born spiritually blind. And it is not until we see the light of Christ that blindness goes away. I ask, Lord, that you return us to our homes today. I thank you for allowing us to be together tonight. And we do everything in the blessed name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.